Hello everyone, how are we all doing? Come on in, sit on down. It's time for a live Q&A. I know it's Sunday, and I know I normally do a truth or therapy session on this day, but I just didn't want to waste the thumbnail that I'd made. Yeah, you know, I just didn't want to waste the thing on a truth or therapy session thumbnail layout format. And I figured I'll turn this into a live Q&A instead tonight, and maybe we'll push the truth or therapy session to on Wednesday, which is actually quite fitting because I have a guest for the truth or therapy sessions, which is good for the truth or therapy sessions, and we've rescheduled for Wednesday anyway. So this one works out quite well for me, to be honest. But today I do want to talk about something I feel is probably on everyone's mind right now, something I think everybody's been hearing a lot about, and that is obviously the infamous files, the 3 million files that have been released so far, just last week, by the Department of Justice in America, detailing in extremely redacted form the exploits of the rich and powerful on a small island. And I have been spending all day kind of looking into this, and it's horrifying. It's actually really bad. And another thing I kind of want to focus on as well is the audacity of these evil bastards to, in the midst of all this information being released, perform an obviously satanic ritual right in our faces, with the gall to look at us and say, "What are you going to do about it?" Basically, without actually saying those words. And I've been doing this for a while. I've been doing this for a long time. And for those, by the way, before I begin, I understand I look a bit peaked, a bit ill today. And I am actually ill. I had my blood drawn a couple of days ago to help manage my hemochromatosis, my iron overload. I can't even speak. It's the thing, I've got like swollen things. Overload, that's what it is. And the few days after you get the blood drawn is really rough, as my body is working hard to replace that blood and fill it back up. So I'm missing like a pint that's being replaced slowly, maybe more than a pint. And as a result, I usually look a little bit pale and a bit strange. But other than that, I'm actually okay. I'm actually feeling relatively better and okay, but it makes me look a bit funny. So that's what's going on right now, just before anyone comments or wonders. But yeah, back to the point of this show. The files have been incredibly disturbing to kind of stare into. It's like an abyss that stares back, you know. And a lot of it is just disconjointed nonsense. A lot of it is difficult to kind of pass through because you're not sure about the context of what's being said or why. But there are small snippets that people are kind of picking up now, which are being given context and analyzed, and videos released as well, there, and body language being analyzed of Epstein himself. And it's shocking to the extent in which these people have been being who they are, shall we say. And I've seen some attitude in the truther community. It's kind of like vindication. Like, these files have been released and it proves that we have been right this entire time. Those who got involved with, like, the Pizzagate stuff, it's like, I told you. We told you. These people did this kind of stuff. We told you what pizza was really code for. And it's kind of, we were laughed at and derived, you know, and spat on and called crazy, delusional conspiracy theorists, you know, and dirty, icky conspiracy, wacky, icky conspiracy theories making stuff up, you know. And then these things get dropped now, and it's kind of like, nobody's laughing now. Like, nobody's laughing now. It's bad. It's really bad. And part of us, I'm sure, in this community, deep down, perhaps really did want to be wrong. Like, maybe we did hope, maybe we were delusional schizophrenics who were just talking nonsense. But we knew we weren't. We wanted to be, because the reality of the situation is that, because it is true, it's shocking. It's like really horribly, horribly shocking. And there's things I don't really want to share or repeat on the screen or anything like that. I haven't got anything lined up, because you can just type in Epstein file release on YouTube and there's hundreds of channels just going through it, just finding stuff and talking about it. But you read the conversations between these people and you realize it wasn't simply just abuse of young women by powerful men or so forth. It was cannibalism of and growing babies and eating them immediately when they're born. It's packaging human meat and shipping it around and giving it to certain people and making an industry out of it. It's the worst, most depraved things you could imagine human beings doing that basically have lost the right to even be called human beings as a result. Doing it with a smile, laughing all the way, and calling each other wonderful and brilliant while they're at it. And people have, like, tried to rationalize it. I think they're saying things like, this is what happens when people have too much money. You know, this is when someone has so much power, so much influence, and has everything at their disposal, they get so bored of the normal, of the things that it takes just for us to get aroused or excited or happy or satiated or satisfied, that they keep pushing the boundary further and further and further until eventually they're eating people, basically. And this is a problem with wealth and power. It's kind of like, it's not just bad in general, but it's bad for the people who get it, because this is what you end up becoming. And perhaps there's something to what Christ said about, you know, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the gates of heaven. And, you know, you can kind of get that now when you start reading these type of things. You actually do start to understand, like, yeah, there's something to this. Like, wealth, power, and money corrupts indefinitely, like, endlessly, in a horrifically horrible, horrible way. But maybe it's not simply just money that did this. Could it not also just simply be that these people worship the devil? They are actually just evil inherently, and they only have the wealth and power and influence because they worshipped the world first. They worshipped the devil first, and those things were given unto them simply because they gave their allegiance to the one that can give them those things. I think more likely that's what's going on here. and people have just been putting the horse before the cart with their interpretations to try and rationalize something they don't really understand, which is evil and spiritual evil and the truth of the spiritual nature of reality and the warfare we're actually under. I'm not here to absolve these people in these files of the heinous actions that they have done. The responsibility is on them. And I think what these people did would give demons a run for their money and even make them blush. And I don't think humanity necessarily needs to have demons to perform heinous acts of evil. I think we're all perfectly capable of doing that. And that's the scary thing about sin and our nature. These are people who in no way, shape or form denied the lusts of the flesh. These are people who do not feel they needed to and have elevated themselves above mankind in their own minds as gods among men, who do not follow the same rules as ordinary men, or who are above the law and the rules of ordinary men, who will brazenly and easily and openly talk about the things they have done in emails, not even hidden behind VPNs or any form of encryption, knowing that even if this did see the light of day, so what? What are they going to do? That's the type of attitude these people have. So, you know, I keep drifting into thinking about it. Some of the things that I've been reading and seeing. And it's heartbreaking. It's like really heartbreaking. It's bad. And now we have millions of people who are not in our field of study, shall we say, who have not been a part of the truther community, who I think may be joining our ranks very soon. And we're going to see a whole new flurry of new members, shall we say, who have been shaken awake and are seriously questioning the reality around them now because of this file being released. But me being the conspiracy theorist I am, I'm extremely, extremely dubious. Why now? Why release it now? Why even give us anything at all? They didn't have to. Most people would have been happy just going on in blissful ignorance, never seeing these things, kicking up a bit of a fuss to seem virtuous, like, release the Epstein files, what are you hiding? But they could have just never released them, and eventually this would have been memory hold and moved on, and everyone would have got over it, and they could have just carried on veiling their sordid acts, and everyone could have blissfully gone on, unaware, burying their heads in the sand and pretending nothing happened, you know, and making up comforting fantasies that this is just an isolated incident with a few psychopathic men who are gone now and it's all over, and this doesn't happen all the time everywhere, you know. They could have gone on in blissful ignorance, but they didn't allow that. They released the files, and we only got half of them. 3 million out of 6 million files were given to you. That's what they chose to. What they chose to show us is unbelievably terrifying. And I think leaving the rest to the imagination is a good method as well to get people even angrier. Because it's like, well, what aren't they showing us if this is what they're willing to actually show us and let us see and know about? I feel like this has got to be some kind of ploy. Like, I really do. I don't know what else to say. Like, I feel like they're letting people see this because they want you angry. This has to be the long game here. Because they didn't need to give us anything. They didn't. Like, these people considered themselves apex predators among humanity, better than all of humanity. And wasn't there some sort of cheesy, stupid phrase from Game of Thrones? It's like, lions don't concern themselves with the opinions of sheep, or something like that. You know, that's how these people think and feel. Like, they don't care. They don't, like, so what? So if these people, like, want answers, just don't give it to them. What are they going to do? Like, increase the interest rates a little bit more and call, you know, and let's put more pressure on them so they get distracted. let's initiate a new war. That'll keep them busy. They'll forget soon enough. Like, these people have that kind of power. They don't care. So when these things happen, these are power moves. These are moves on the chessboard. This is a game. playing out right before our very eyes. This is a pre-written, pre-planned script. And I feel like this one is probably because they're trying to destroy something, an old system that they want to replace with something new and more controlling. And it seems like this is the time for the end of human hierarchy, shall we say, that we're aware of, that is public or semi-public. I think people will realize we need a new system that doesn't allow shady men with lots of money in dark rooms to make decisions on our behalf anymore. And it'll seem good, like, oh, transparency, wonderful. But what it'll come with is restrictions and laws and our ability to govern ourselves freely, to avoid these type of things happening again, you know. And they'll obviously come with probably some kind of digital currency and technocratic AI control. If men get corrupted too easily and end up becoming satanic, cannibalistic pedophiles every time they get power and money, then we need to stop men from getting power and money and influence and control. So let's give that over to a machine instead. That's likely where this is really going and what the justification for what's coming next will be, the Epstein scenario. Well, we've seen what happens. You know, you let men and women get too much power and money, too much wealth, become billionaires, they lose their humanity, they go insane, and they start doing heinous actions and horrible things. And to avoid this, we just need to make sure society isn't structured in a way, and systems and bureaucracies aren't designed in a way that allows this to happen anymore. We just have to give it over to technocratic AI systems instead. It's the only way to avoid this from happening. We don't want another Epstein, do we? We don't want that again. So from now on, AI is your government. Yeah. And all currency is controlled digitally. No more cash. No more shady backroom deals, no more money laundering, no more. We can track every transaction. Every transaction will be tracked from now on, no matter who you are or how powerful you are or how much wealth you've accrued, to avoid this from happening. Nothing will be hidden in the shadows anymore. And that sounds wonderful. Full transparency. You got nothing to hide. You got nothing to worry about, type of attitude, you know? And yeah, we humans don't need to concern themselves with the decisions of policy and structure and law anymore. No, the AI will do that for us instead. So they say, yeah, whatever. But yeah, to justify that step, which again, you let them get there. They have got us by the balls. They own us. We're less than cattle by that point. They need a fall guy. They need something to justify destroying the old system. And I think this is the thing that's going to justify destroying the old system, because they've let everybody know about this. It's not just some crazy fringe people in the corner of the internet anymore. This is everybody. Everybody knows what's going on. The hierarchy has been externalized. It's probably a good way to describe this, which once again is the plan. That's the point of what they're doing here. They want people to know who's really pulling the strings. They want to drip feed through a process of media control and you know, a little bit revealed here and there over a long time. They want people to know who's really pulling the strings, who's in control. They want to externalize the hidden power structure, to make people apathetic towards it first, and accepting and capitulating to the reality of it, because it's like a boiling pot situation. It's not too much anymore. It's kind of like, oh yeah, we already knew that was happening, really, so whatever, you know, what am I going to do about it? That kind of thing. I think that's a lot of it. But also, they want to prep people for what's coming next, which will be the real externalization of what they consider the real hierarchy, which isn't the rich, powerful people in the Illuminati or the Freemasons or the Knights of Malta or whatever you want to, like, whichever sect or group you want to point to as the result why this are causing all these problems. Though they have caused a lot of problems and are very real, don't get me wrong, but they have also been designed to fall at the same time. They're supposed to get caught. They're supposed to get revealed. They're supposed to get brought down. So then something else can rise from the ashes of that old world system. A phoenix made in their image, and this will be Luciferianism. The guiding light of Lucifer will lead humanity to the next evolutionary step in the process to enlightenment. Okay. But before they get to that stage, they need to utterly reveal the current system for the corrupted, disgusting cesspit it actually is, in order to justify the reasonings behind the change, the regime change from darkness to light, is what they live by. These are occultists who live by these principles. And they consider Lucifer the good guy. Lucifer is Prometheus. Lucifer is the light bringer, the light bearer. That's literally what his name means. He is the one who brings knowledge to mankind, the apple from the tree. And with this knowledge, you will be as gods. You will unlock your true potential in like a more new age sense. You'll ascend to the fifth dimension, or you become grand masters of your own consciousness in the universe, or you'll master your own godhead or something. But the idea is, this is Luciferianism. You are God, or we are God collectively. And through enough knowledge, we can all collectively free ourselves from the shackles of existence in this flesh, limited matter, world and body into the enlightened light gods that we truly are, you know. And it's this knowledge is God has kept hidden from us that Lucifer has shared with mankind is what's going to free us from our limitations. But to get there first, they have to externalize not only the horror show that was created through the darkness, the dark aspect, the people who work with the demons, who had a good run, by the way, of power, fame, and hedonism, do whatever they want for a long time, you know, unimpeded. All that's supposed to get exposed, we're supposed to get angry, we're supposed to demand change, possibly get a bit violent, possibly kill a few people, possibly start a third world war maybe, and then through the ruins and the ashes of the revealing of the horrible and the revolution of man to take back control, disillusioned, unknowing where to put our veneration or love or that desire for some kind of relationship with a higher power anymore, because, you know, all the Abrahamic faiths just had a massive war in the Middle East that shows how bloody and brutal and horrible it is to even consider having a god. People are going to need to know where to put that desire to have some kind of relationship with a higher power, which we all have. It's written on our hearts. And that's when, as Albert Pike wrote, oh, well, let's just reveal the true doctrine of Lucifer. We're all God. You're a god. Collectively, we're gods. And we can be as God. All we have to do is just learn enough stuff or utilize our knowledge to its full capacity, and we can transcend into godhood by taking the reins of our own evolutionary process. You'll get transhumanism thrown in there. You'll get some kind of alien technology thrown in there or something. There'll be some grand narrative that leads us through these paths and down that road. But you best believe before they get to that point, the darkness has to be exposed first, and then the spiritual light gets revealed too. The externalization of the hierarchy. Alice Bailey wrote about this. She believes 2025 was going to be the year the first stages of this process would begin. What a coincidence. 2025 ends, bam, these files get released. 2025 begins, AI suddenly takes over in big ways. It reveals itself for what it is. An unknowable Lovecraftian monster that everybody has become dependent and reliant upon for answers, like it's their own personal god. 2025 was a big year for that kind of move and shift, and 2026 is an even bigger year. It seems the beginning stages are here now. It's happening. It is beginning. And you see this on every front. You see it on every single front, political as well. This is happening in the political world. The political left is being destroyed, and the political right is going to rise up and take back control. You're going to see a rise of nationalist Christianity as a swing to the other side from the social justice, unfettered migration, anti-Islam sentiments. And you're going to have basically a radicalized, militarized version of Christianity rising very soon. because the external, like, the hierarchy is being externalized, all the evils in the world are being revealed, and who's responsible is being revealed. Have you noticed the mass noticing currently going on in the Middle East, towards the Middle East? Things unheard of. You were not allowed to say that maybe even just 2-3 years ago. And now everybody is suddenly noticing, and a Hitler sympathizer all of a sudden, right? How is that being allowed? Why is that being allowed? Why did the British flag suddenly appear on every single lamppost, on every single suburb, and every single street all up and down England almost overnight? No, you can't tell me that was just some Facebook group organization getting together with Keith and Dave and the lads and a few zip ties and a few ladders. Get over yourself if you still think that's the case. You are not paying attention. Everything is being played against us right now to get us to react. The after reactions right now. And reactions require solutions. And they have the solutions waiting in the pipelines for our reactions to problems that they caused. They keep doing this over and over and over and over and over again. It's certainly coming to a head, though. I don't know how much time we have. I don't know what it's going to look like. I know man makes plans, but God laughs. So we'll see how this actually plays out realistically. No fear, of course. But these guys, these bastards, are certainly playing at our flesh, aren't they? Because the flesh side of me says, I want to hang these people. The flesh part of me is screaming revenge. Retribution at its finest. Vengeance. The flesh part of me wants to see them suffer. And they've made other people suffer. It does. But that's not what we're called to do. And that is certainly not the solution. We're supposed to take our cross and deny the flesh daily. We're not supposed to pick up our sword and fight and chop ears off. You live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. What we're called to do is love one another and offer ourselves up as a sacrifice. We can have more of an impact if we did that. And if we were martyred, that would have far more of an impact for the kingdom of heaven on earth than killing people in the name of Jesus. But that's what they're aiming for, because they need to justify the removal of any faith that requires a monotheistic God, because monotheism leads to mass destruction, death, and genocide after that war. That'll be the opinion. We can't let that happen again. And if aliens suddenly turn up and tell us that they made us, that'll certainly seem to discredit all those other religions that said God created us instead. So we'll have to replace it then. And what's the new religion going to be? And it'll be this universalism, everybody is one type of religion. And I guess in a way this brings me to the next point about the mass ritual that was suddenly just displayed onto the TVs for the Winter Olympics, right? You know. And, you know, you can say we all want for most of it. A lot of it is just a bunch of people dancing around a spiral. A lot of multicolored stuff going on, all coming together as one. All the cultures, all the world without borders. It's kind of this universalist ideology ringing throughout that there's no borders. It's a humanity coming together as one. It's New World Order stuff. You know what I mean? Masked under the veil of community and togetherness and love and happiness and peace and unity. And then they come to lighting the cauldron, which, by the way, is just Prometheus's flame, the fire stolen from the gods and given to man to help us become as God ourselves. It's Lucifer worship at its finest. It's Lucifer's torch, the light bringer. And they set it ablaze between two pillars within an archway. So it's Joaquin and Boaz, the two pillars, and then in the center you have a geometric sphere with the cauldron in the middle, which when illuminated looks like an eye within a pentagram. But also if you play around with it, you can make the square and compass out of the same lines that are available. It's basically the Freemasonic logo right there in front of you, with a blatantly red flames of hell pentagram in the middle, showing the Baal worship that they love to show over and over again. In fact, every single opening ceremony to every single Olympics game that's ever existed, whether it's winter or normal, has always been a Lucifer Baal worshipping event. Every single time. And throw a bit of mockery of Christ in there while you're at it. Throw a bit of angel worship in there while you're at it. And that's basically the ritual every single year. And I thought, you know, while these Epstein files have just been released, telling us that basically satanic paedophiles rape and eat children and babies and people while sharing meat around and the rest of it. And basically, you know, hate us and call us goyim and the rest while they're at it and think of us as lesser than them in every single aspect, laughing while they're at it. They had the nerve to put on a satanic ritual while we're reading about what these people who organize these events get up to behind the scenes, you know. It's like one jab after another. They're trying to get us to react. They're trying to get a reaction. They're trying to get us mad. And in the past, whenever somebody would decode the Olympics, the general masses would laugh about it and make some joke videos about these crazy people on the internet saying crazy stuff. I bet a lot of people are watching this now in the throes of reading these horrific documents and looking at this ritual. And I think some cogs must be turning, right? And we, as truth is, oh, great, people are waking up. Look how thankful we should be. But I'm like, no. It's playing out perfectly. This is the externalization of the hierarchy in play. This is what this is. This is what's happening. The old system must fall. All the dirty laundry is going to get aired. And that's the point. And all these actors who have been benefiting and fulfilling their perversions through playing their roles on this stage, genuinely doing these horrible things, but knowing there's no consequences, are likely going to forfeit their roles very soon and probably live a very comfortable life until death somewhere under a different name or on a private island somewhere that we don't know anything about, thinking that maybe they're dead or gone or something like that. Because that's how these people roll. We're going to think organically, oh, we've sent them to prison or we've done this or X, Y, and Z, but that's probably not really what happens. Because it's a show. It's a show. It's Masonic theater. And this is another thing as well. I'm not even totally 100% sure what I'm allowed to say on this channel, on YouTube anymore, because the rules and guidelines are arbitrarily changing every single day. Like, things I said months ago are suddenly no longer allowed to be said now, and things I'm saying today, which are perfectly fine to say, might not be allowed to be said in 6 months' time, and I could get a strike or something like this, because that's just how it goes. For those who don't know, I did actually just get a strike on a video that was released a long time ago, like 3 to 4 months ago. I think it was episode 107 or something like this of the Truth of Therapy Sessions, like a while ago. You know, 10 episodes, 10 weeks at least or something. And I mentioned a popular parasite cleanse. And it turns out now you're not allowed to say that. That's suddenly become medical disinformation, even though it's been used for that purpose for millennia, for since it's ever existed. Everyone has known, but that you can use it for this. I think I actually have it on screen here. Let me have a look. Yeah, so if anyone wants to go and watch this video, it's available for free on my Patreon. It's there publicly available. You just go click on my Patreon and it'll be there, and you can click play and listen to the whole presentation. It's not behind a paywall or anything, but that's the only place I'm going to be able to host this type of stuff. And I've had to take to hosting things I'm not really allowed to say on there now, because like I said, the rules keep changing. So, you know, after I got the strike and they removed the video, I had to do a policy training course to remove the strike. And maybe in 3 months' time, if they're feeling generous, they'll get rid of it. But yeah, it was this specific point here, talking about a specific type of cleanse, which I'm not allowed to talk about anymore. So that's what these people do. This is how they control the narrative. They can control what people see on YouTube, is what I'm saying. They can dictate what is and is not allowed to be said. And now anybody and everybody on YouTube is noticing what people in Israel are suddenly doing and talking about it openly and how much they control every aspect of our life, while also sifting through heinous documents online and showing everybody what is really going on behind the scenes as much as they can. They're tentative, they're trying to avoid the more extreme things, worried about getting their own channels striked, but they're not getting striked for sharing it because they're allowed to. They're allowed to. But you're not allowed to know how to get parasites effectively out of your body. You can't know that. That would give you too much power back, wouldn't it? So this is what I'm saying. It's orchestrated, it's curated. You need to be careful. You need to be very careful. A lot of these things that are happening right now feel like maybe we're winning. Maybe we finally we're going to get the bastards. Maybe the truth is coming out and we're all waking up and we're all suddenly having a mass awakening and it's all wonderful. And you know what? If this had happened maybe 10 years ago, I would have thought so. But in context to what's happening currently in the world and where we're at with the advancements in technology, AI, nanotechnology, the political atmosphere, how far the regimes have come for the mass movement of people, the what's going on in the Middle East right now, the mass destabilization, the genocide and the rest of it, it's all culminating into basically the roadmap of Albert Pike's letter to Mazzini. It's the prophecies of the Theosophical Society for the coming of the world teacher Luciferian doctrine. It's all coalescing into this time right now, fundamentally. Okay. This is a plan a long time in the making, and moves are being made right now. And a part of that plan has always been to create the illusion that the people got there themselves naturally, and the solution of accepting Lucifer as God was the right thing to do. So that means it's going to feel like a victory when it happens to most people. The fight that's coming, humanity will win. That's what it's going to look like. And it's going to look like, finally, the evil's gone and the good can take over. That's what it's going to feel like when it comes with rejecting Jesus, rejecting God, rejecting the truth. Believing a lie and giving ourselves over collectively to a delusion. It's the only way it's going to work. But the delusion's going to feel so good. We're going to feel so vindicated and righteous in our judgments upon those we've deemed evil. Vengeance will be ours. That's how it's going to look and feel. And through violence and revolution, mankind will feel like it's taking control of its own evolutionary process and narrative. We're no longer held back by primitive belief systems from desert people 2,000 years ago. Finally, we can go forward with progress. A real reset for change and positivity. Blah, 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 blah. That's probably when everyone's going to be convinced to come together as one. And that's when an alien threat is going to appear that wants to destroy our newfound prosperity and peace. And we better all go march up the breadth of the earth and surround it and take it out before it's too late. That's the Gog and Magog war right there. If you add nanotech into the mix and you want to get an army, the number of the sands of the sea, well, nanotechnology is pretty small and in the trillion billions. That's the number of the sands of the sea right there, isn't it? So yeah, maybe. And it seems like the only way to destroy such an utter corruption of metal and machine and flesh all at once is extreme fervent heat. And no doubt fire will come down from heaven in that judgment and reset everything the way it was supposed to be. And that will be the end of the biblical narrative and the beginning of the new heaven and earth. After judgment, of course. Yeah, so it's all playing out. It's all playing out to plan. God has his own plans. How long it takes is up to us. How quickly do we want to allow them to continue with this agenda? Well, I think our God is a patient, long-suffering God and a forgiving one, believe it or not. That's why he sent his son. So we could, I think we could delay. I think he can give us time. He can give us something. As long as we collectively love him and show that and have a real revival, I don't see why the devil's plans cannot be pushed back. I think it's always possible. Will that happen? I don't know. Who am I to say? I'm not optimistic on that front. But it's possible. Anyway, I'm going to take a quick break. Because obviously, as you can see, I need a break. I'm not doing great health-wise. So I am going to take a quick break. I'll play a song for you. I'll play my song again. Why not? It's my channel. I'll play my song if I want to. And when we get back, we'll do a Q&A. I'll answer some questions. I'll chat to you guys for a little bit. And then I'm going to have to get going and get a relatively early night, if that's okay. So yeah, I'll play the classic Buildings. And here's one of my songs, just to give me a couple of minutes.
My back is stabbed enough, oh, could I take a break? This world is draining me, a glass of living water, please. My eyes are aching now, oh, could you take this beam? The abyss stood back and left, I remember all your past. I sing to heaven, please deliver me. The price is heavy, I heard you paid the levy. I sing for peace, now don't look down on me. Can two men dream? That's a lovely building, oh, is it built on feelings? When it falls, you can crawl, grab his hand and don't let go. I see on the telly, the gospel is the belly. Forever feeling empty, the bread of life is always free. Well, I sing to heaven, oh please deliver me. The price is heavy, I heard you paid the levy. Well, I sing for peace now, don't look down on me. Can't a man dream? Carry this for me. Ease my knees. Unburden me, please. Lord, please. My back is stabbed enough, oh, could I take a break? This world is draining me, a glass of living water, please. My eyes are aching now, oh, could you take this beam? The abyss stood back and left, I remember all your past. I sing to heaven, oh please deliver me. The price is heavy, I heard you paid the levy. Well, I sing for peace now, don't look down on me. I need to sleep, can't I dream?
Okay, I'm back. There we go. Yeah, so I'm just quickly scrolling through some of these comments while I was talking. And a lot of mixed feelings, a lot of opinions. This is a controversial topic, so I understand everyone's going to necessarily agree with my take, or everyone has a take, I'm sure, on the whole Epstein situation and what that actually means. Yeah, look, I understand God's capacity to bring judgment on nations and utterly wipe out entire populations as a result. And it's funny because I've been watching some videos where there's been a revival of a lot of people coming to Christianity over the Epstein files for a relatively funny reason, where they're finally like, I think I understand why God wiped all those people out now in the Old Testament. They get it now. Like, they finally have a living, current example to understand what would drive God to do that. And they're like, no, God was good. And I hope he brings down some of that holy fire wrath now. Like, everyone's like, God needs to bring judgment now. Like, a lot of people having that realization that, wow, this is how bad it can get. And I don't know how we, the people, can solve this. Only God could have put an end to such a thing through the total destruction stuff he did in the Old Testament. So I get it. I do get it. But fundamentally, vengeance is his. Vengeance is God's. It's not ours. And I think when the individuals take it upon themselves to be the righteous hand of God and his judgment, that's where the sin of man and pride of man can make serious judgment errors and things can get very messy very quickly and turn into a big problem, which is why vengeance is the Lord's. And that scale of destructive vengeance can only be done by God. That's kind of how I see it. But yeah, I'm not saying it's all love and forgiveness. I'm all for that side of God, but yes, he's also righteous judgment too. We can never forget that God is good fundamentally, and he will not withstand evil for long. I do know that. I'm aware of that. Let me just catch up to the chat and get to the bottom of this. So if anyone has any questions, and get them in now. I'm looking at the chat live, so this will be your chance to get them in while I'm looking at the end of the chat. Sodom and Gomorrah 2.0. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, that seems to be the only way this is going to end, right? But maybe he's reserving that judgment, that type of judgment, for the Gog-Magog war. Who knows? Who honestly knows? That's in God's hands, not mine. Hedge of Truth says, I just got here, so I don't know what's being said, but the same way there is controlled opposition, this Epstein stuff is controlled disclosure. Pretty clearly, in my opinion. Well, funny enough, Hedge of Truth, I think I said basically the same thing you just said. You said it more succinctly than me. I rambled on for 40 minutes trying to get that point across. But yeah, I think we're on the same page there. It's 10 to midnight. I can hang on to about 12. Same for me. I know. I don't know how much longer I'm going to go for myself. Maybe I'll round this show off at maybe about an hour today or something like that. I might go a little bit over. But I do have to have a bit of an early night tonight, guys, because I'm feeling a bit run down. I need to get some rest. But you've got me for a little bit. I've got some water to keep me going for a little bit longer here as well. So yeah, let me know. Any questions, let's get them in. I'll keep reading comments. I don't know how we're supposed to tolerate evil. It's hard. We don't tolerate evil. We expose it when it's there in front of us and we have the capacity to expose it. It's not tolerating evil that I don't think we're supposed to do. No, we're supposed to stand up to evil, fight back against evil as much as we can within our abilities to do such a thing. There are some things that me and you do not have the capacity or ability to change in our current circumstances, but there are people out there who probably could, who could at least do a lot to combat it in their own circumstances, in their positions and their lot in life. And I'm sure God's working through them in whatever ways to make those things happen and those things be exposed and those movements to happen. But individually, we can't save the whole world, only what's going on around us immediately. So I would do that instead. Focus on the immediate evil around you and within yourself, you know, and others. And once you've got that boxed off, maybe if you have the ability, try and go after the rest, you know. But tolerate evil is not what we're supposed to do. We don't tolerate. We don't put up with it and say it's okay, you know, and say, well, you know, keep it, I suppose, at least to being evil to themselves or something like that. No, we don't tolerate evil. We expose it. I think a lot of people think not tolerating something means you need to attack it or something or kill it. That's the problem. Expose it instead. And let God deal with the vengeance side of things. Darkness doesn't exist where there's light, let's put it that way. Sent people. Peaceful revolution is the only proven solution in history. Our collective power is equivalent to our capacity to find empathy and keep it cool. Yeah, when we're reacting, we're losing. That's right. But when you're acting in reason and you're calm, you're winning. These people are in the game of getting a reaction out of us, and that's where they get their control. That's where they win. There are times to turn the other cheek and times to speak up, says Based with Grace. Exactly. Good point. We're not omnipresent. That's what I mean. Forgive yourself. Like, don't forget, this is a defeated enemy. Christ already did enough on the cross. The flesh. Let the flesh fight the flesh. Okay, we're not of this world. Our kingdom is not of this world. We might be in the world, but we're not of it. Okay, and while people are worried and fighting about fleshly problems, like these evil people doing evil things to other people's flesh, and how we're going to stop the flesh from killing the flesh, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know, it's corrupt. It is corrupt completely. And we need to make people realize and learn that the flesh is not all that there is. And we are called to help people get there and figure that out and understand that all this will burn away. Flesh is temporary. The spirit is eternal. The soul is eternal. And you need to figure that out. That's what you need to get right with. And that's what you need to reconcile with God. And you need to have a relationship with his son, Jesus Christ, to get that reconciliation. Without that, all this seems trivial, doesn't it? It starts to fall away and realize it was probably just one giant distraction. I was so worried about the flesh and what people were going to do with my flesh. I should have been worrying about the one who can destroy the soul. That's who I should have been worrying about. That's the only one I should have been fearing. And we just realize that and remember that and gain that perspective and give other people that perspective. And then I think very quickly, a lot of the fleshly problems would begin to dissipate because of it too. But it's the obsession with flesh and believing that the skin and the flesh and the body and the world is all that there is has caused so much anxiety and paranoia and possessiveness. So people are clinging to something because of its impermanence, fearful to let it go because they don't know what comes next. Do you get what I mean? And that's that fear that then gives us the ability to be controlled, gives them the ability to control us. But understanding that it's not all that there is. There's something else after this, and there's a God that loves you. It alleviates a lot of that pressure immediately, which is why they don't want people having that belief system or that faith, and why it will become anathema in the end. And which is why it was the most persecuted and banned book and religion in its early days, which is why all the nations who have tried to ban the Bible and kill Christians since are no longer exist as a system anymore. Because they can't stop it, but they try. People try because they understand the power it gives people when they know the truth, when they believe what the word tells them, what the word of God has to offer. They know it gives them that power and that strength and that ability to not be controlled, and that's a problem. God's timing is unpredictable. We can take action, and because of a righteous cause, wouldn't God support his people to eliminate the evil? I mean, how much longer can evil prevail? Well, look, I'm not saying we shouldn't stand up, demand retribution, demand judgments, lock these people up, you know, remove them from civilized society, expose their evil deeds and what they've done, shame them, make the world know. But what do you want to do? Kill them? Do you think that's going to solve anything? Do you know the story of the Hydra? The beast where you chop one head off, 10 more just arise? You should think about that. I'm not saying let evil prevail, but words like eliminate, you're talking about genocide. That's the enemy's tactic. That's not God's tactic. That's not what he wants us to do. I think I'll give God that right to make that righteous judgment to wipe out an entire group of people. Okay, that's on him. I think he's the only one who can make that righteous choice of whether it's right or wrong. I don't think that's a moral choice we as people on the ground level here should be making, because we're too prone to corruption. And our reasons behind making such decisions are selfish at best, right? Usually. And as a result, it's tough. It's hard. You want to fight. I get it. I get the desire to fight. I do. I understand it. I really understand it. I think maybe there's a peaceful way of doing this. We have prison systems for a reason. They're just being utilized incorrectly right now, and the wrong people are going into prisons for petty, silly reasons. Well, the real criminals who are doing the real crimes are for living free. We need to start using these systems that we have in place righteously and in the way they should be, with God at the forefront of them all and in the minds of everybody who utilizes them and uses these systems. So if the prison system was fair, the criminals would be in there, right? Now, this is probably what Connor's talking about with this CDM movement, you know, Christian Dominion movement. If Christians were in charge of the judges, of the courts and the criminal justice systems, then righteousness would prevail. But the people running these systems are not Christians and likely not righteous and are corrupt. And as a result, corruption prevails. So it's up to us to work hard and force ourselves in through the correct channels to these positions of power that run these systems and these institutions. And maybe then we can start seeing the corruption being alleviated more and more, and those who would seek to take that power being exposed. You know, so this is what I mean. Like, there probably are better ways than just let's pick up our guns and go kill them. You know, because you don't destroy evil with guns. You kill people with guns, but people can repent. People can change. People can be born again. People can be saved. You're not going to save them by shooting them. How do we know you aren't AI generated? That beard is too perfect. No, it's not. It's not perfect. If you look closely. It's coming down the neck now. It needs neatening up a little bit. There's quite a lot of grey hairs appearing in there now. Thanks for the compliment, though, Free Carbon. I promise I am not AI generated, but in this world now, how can I prove that? I can't prove it, can I? I'm screwed. What kind of tea is the hardest to swallow? Reality. I like that one. That's a terrible dad joke. I like it, though. Right, let's go down to the bottom of the chat. What have I missed? I like your music, says Gail Single. I'm glad you like the music. Thank you. I'm still working on it. I'll hopefully get some more songs out soon enough. Yes, we have adequate prison systems that can be actually kind of therapeutic instead of the way they are. And furthermore, some folks need to be exiled. And that can be adequately nice also. Yeah, never underestimate a good exile. We need to get it all done expediently so we can split up the compensation money and get busy spending and living. Well, this is what, yeah, I think... I just don't think violent genocide is going to be the solution to this. I think that'll cause more problems. I think it will. I think righteous judgment through judgment, the systems of fairness, would garner better results. It might be a longer process, but it's the right way. You know, there's a right way to do things, and there's a wrong way to do things. And often, the right way to do things is harder. The easy way out is usually the wrong way to do things, is what I'm trying to say, and has longer lasting consequences as a result. artificial intelligence doesn't complain about hemochromatosis. I'm sorry I'm complaining about it so much. I'm just in the throes of it right now. I'm not trying to put my stuff on you. I let my ferritin get too high. I missed a phlebotomy and I thought I'd get away with it. I didn't think it'd be that bad, but it was bad. I've been living in perpetual hell for the past like 2 months, every morning. And I finally got the treatment 2 weeks ago. I got one pint of blood removed. And it's been 2 weeks and I just got another pint of blood removed. And it takes about 3 weeks to replace such an amount of blood. So I'm about a pint and a half down right now, or something like that. And that comes with its own problems, because obviously oxygen being carried around the body is a little bit less because of the less red blood cells to carry the oxygen and the rest of it. I'm probably wrong on that. Biology gets complicated. But while my body is using up the iron stores in my muscles and organs from the hemochromatosis, it's making new blood cells with the marrow as well. So that process is just exhausting, and it takes like a week for me to feel good again. But once I'm through it and the iron's back down, I'll be back to normal and feeling great again for maybe like another 3 months, 4 months or something like that before I need to get another one taken. I left it like 8 months because I didn't want to get another one done because it's not pleasant. And I am suffering for avoiding what needed to be done. I guess I should have just got it done when I should have got it done. I'm learning. It's new to me. It's a new diagnosis. You know, I'm lucky I caught it very young, because if most people don't realize they have this till they're like 50 or 60, and by that point they're actually about to die because the liver's already cirrhosis or something, or the heart needs replacing, or the lungs need replacing, and it's just too late. Because I'm young, it'll never get to that state. I'll always be able to control it so nothing ever gets damaged to the point where I need a replacement. So, thank God for that, I suppose, in many ways. But yeah, I'm not sure AI cares too much about explaining its medical conditions to you. Please don't give me any unsolicited medical advice. I don't want it. I've been through it all. I'm living this. I know everything about it. I am a conspiracy theorist. I probably know more than you about all of this. This is the only easiest, quickest solution to my problem. Okay, I understand you want to help, but trust me, this is the only way. It's the easiest, quickest way that actually works and prevents me from an early death. Judge not, lest ye be judged. For with that judgment ye shall be judged, ye shall be judged. And with that measure ye meet, I shall measure to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in your brother's eye, but considereth not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Thanks, Wendy. That's a great quote. You're right. Absolutely. People don't want to talk about the, you know, just judge not lest ye be judged, and leave it at that. And it's kind of like, no. Stop judging other people because you're full of shit. That's basically what that's saying. You need to sort your own shit out first before you start judging other people. You're glad they judge others while ignoring your own problems, won't you? That's what the verse is really saying, and it's a good point. And it's true. Everybody needs to do that. Everybody needs to realize that. Pride is a major problem. Even in the Christian community, I see it, you know. And even in the truther community, forget the Christian parts of truthers, but truthers themselves, they are a prideful bunch. I know, like, we're trying to spread the truth and we figured some stuff out, but wow, do some people let that go straight to their head. Whew, unbelievable. It's hard to watch sometimes. It's cringe to watch sometimes. I'll take your excess iron stores as mine is very low. This is the other thing. If you were anemic, my blood would be wonderful. Only when it's high. Once it's back down to maintenance, it's just like anyone else's. It doesn't make a difference then. Jesus said there are people who are born dead. There is no life in them. Just like with Judas. Jesus said that it would have been better if he had never been born because his actions were already written. Yeah, well. There's a whole wheat and tares thing that we do have to remember. I think that there perhaps are some people living among us who perhaps, maybe aren't people as we would understand them, or at least don't have a conscience or don't think, or perhaps are maybe of the devil and are pretending to be people. There is all that. Maybe. I think we have to be careful with that line of thought sometimes. I mean, even if that is true, which it might be, because the Bible does say there's a separation from the wheat and the tares that will take place. But it also says it's impossible to separate the two while they grow together, because you'll damage through the roots everyone else, all the good stuff around them. And it's sort of like it's indistinguishable until harvest time who is and isn't a tear. So we can't really go around making that kind of judgment of who is and isn't, right? So it's not really, it's kind of like a moot point to begin with. It's kind of like, why waste your time? What can you possibly do? That's up to the angels and God for the harvest at the end. It's not up to us, you know? I think a lot of people who start worrying about that kind of thing start... It can just lead to another way of genocide. That's just where it leads, when you really logically bring it to its own fleshly conclusions. There are people around that aren't human. Let's get them. That's what it comes down to every time. So we have to be careful with that line of thought, you know. The general world system is pretty messed up when you think about it, but we shouldn't be pessimistic. There is also good in the world. Exactly, you know. Fundamentally, this is God's creation. It's been hijacked by a bunch of psychopathic men and the devil layering his own version of the world on top of God's and making us focus on his little creations within the world rather than God himself. But God made the world. He made everything in it. And the devil can't create anything, really. He can just manipulate and use what's already being created by God and twist it and make us focus on his twisted creations. To say it again in another way, that's basically all that can be done. And we have to remember that. And so there is good in this world because God is good and we're made in his image. But we're also sinful. We've given into sin and our lust and our desires. We've fallen from that position. But it doesn't mean we don't have the capacity for good. We do. We have good and evil. That's the problem. And that duality is the issue. And, you know, God... is like as a creation in itself. Well, God isn't a creation, but as a thing, God is goodness. He is light, and there is no darkness there. And we view the world in duality as there's good and then there's bad, and there's not. There's God, and then there's varying degrees of distance away from him, and we call that bad. But there's many levels to that. The further away from God you are, the more deprived you become. The closer to God you get, the more holy and the more righteous you become. That's really what it is. That's not a good and evil. There's just varying degrees of distance from light, from God. It's like darkness, for example. We think of, well, there's light and then there's dark. That's not true. Darkness itself is not a thing. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness only exists when there is no light. And even then it doesn't exist. It's not a thing. It's not a thing, but light is. Light is a source in which things emanate, a warmth and a brightness emanates from. Okay? It's power. Like a fire, it's a flame. It has a function. It has a thing to it. It's a use, shall we say. You know, it brings warmth and vision and light to a thing. Darkness is the absence of that. It's not a thing in itself. You can't make darkness. You can only take away light. Do you get what I'm saying? Like it and our brains, because we're falling into the good and evil stuff, the duality of things, we view things as black and white. We view things as dichotomies that are ever in perpetual, either war or harmony with each other. That's false. That's not how the reality actually functions. This is how God sees it, which is where a lot of our problems come from, you know. And it's when you get into that kind of stuff, I'm getting really into weird metaphysical, like, philosophical concepts here, which maybe it's getting too late for that right now. Maybe I'm not in the right state to be talking about it. But this is, I feel like this is an aspect or a viewpoint that I feel like I've learnt during my walk with God and my experiences from my psychedelic days, and kind of trying to understand what it means to have the knowledge of good and evil and why that's a problem. Because God doesn't see it that way, but we do, you see, and that's why we are trapped in this cycle, this issue. We're trapped in duality, shall we say. Yeah, anyway, let's go back to the chat, but I think I have to call this a night soon. I'm already on an hour 11, I think, an hour 10 or something. Don't be a victim of top chats. That's right, guys. Carmen's in the house. Good to see you, Carmen Studer. The truth is not in them. That's true. First Corinthians 10:13, but God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear, but along with the temptation, he will also make the way out in order for you to be able to endure it. Yep. Amen. That's true. Every time I hear the word devil, I feel so yucky, it grosses me out, says Teresa. I get that. Christ will dry every tear refers to pain believers will suffer on judgment day, and so many we love miss the mark. Yeah. Preach, brother. I think it was a joke. Yeah, guys. So anyway, I'm going to probably leave the show there. I had my little rant at the start. I guess that's just reading those files leaves a mark on you, you know, and more revelations from those files are going to come out very soon, and it's going to get worse. And I think cooler heads need to prevail again. I think big plays are happening right now to get reactions out of people, because they're looking to destroy the old world order. So from the ashes of that, they can appear to organically create a new world order that we all want, because the old one was just so terrible and corrupt. But as we mentioned, there is actually good in this world, and the whole system, it's not the whole system that is actually corrupt. I think the systems that we have in place are remnants from the 1,000-year reign of Christ, and they're trying to destroy everything about it and remove it and replace it with something in their image, a kingdom in their image. And that's what the new world order will be. That's likely what's going on. If you want to get into the whole little season stuff and throw that on there just for good measure, that's probably why. I think the systems that we have could work if righteous people were in control of them. But that's just not the situation we find ourselves in. So corruption is all we see. And I think as a result of this, we think we need to have a new system, and we'll end up giving up our control to technocratic systems. And that's when the cage will be locked, I would say. But everyone will think it's a good thing. Everyone but us. We know it's a double cross. Anyway, guys, I'll leave that there. Thanks for listening. If you want to support me, please consider becoming a patron. That is something I really want you guys to help me out with and be a part of. I do have extra stuff on there. As I mentioned, there are other videos on there. If I share the screen, that's not it. Let's try this again. If I close this, there we go. Yeah, if I share the screen with you guys, as you can see, there is stuff on here, extra stuff. There's the one that was banned very recently, the video that was banned. That's there for public access, completely free. But I do have stuff in here that is behind a paywall, which is a new series I've started called The Things You Aren't Allowed to Say on YouTube. and you will get exclusive content coming regularly on here to do that now. The next video of this I'll be recording on Tuesday, and I'll be talking about this video that got banned, and I'll be saying everything you can't say again on here, but also talking about how the rules are always changing and what we can do about that. I got a sneak peek of my book here, a whole chapter from the second book in progress. There you go, for all you to see now. Here's a concept I'm working on for the next Nephilim Clown book, but this is not the final one, and this is probably going to change. I'm just messing around with some ideas right now, but those ideas get uploaded to Patreon, so you can go check them out for yourself. Here you go, another one I'm talking about here, something else I probably can't really talk about on the channel. Lots of members only stuff. Here's a call-in session. Come check it out. There is extra content on there. Something I do want to give back to my audience and those who do want to support me financially. I'm hoping to put a lot more stuff out there. It's been a busy week. Lots of things have been going up recently. And you always get early access to podcasts on there as well. And other behind-the-scenes stuff that's going there too. So please consider it, guys. Becoming a patron to help me, that would be a great help. If you want a signed copy of the book, just email me, understandingconspiracy@gmail.com. And I can get one out to you in the post. No problem. So I'll leave that there, guys. I think I've shilled enough for myself at the end. Thanks for listening. And as always, God bless.